has been brought down. Amen. Amen. And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? God is good. He is. He blessed us to wake up this morning. He blessed us with right use of our minds and brought us here to worship him in spirit and in truth. I woke up this morning with my mind it was set. Oh yes, I woke up this morning with my mind, well, it was stayed right on the Lord. Well, I woke up this morning with my mind, yes, it was stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you are our honored guests, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. It's just good to be with the saints this morning. I hope you don't take these blessings for granted. As days, as weeks, as months, as years go by, some of us have been here for a long time, and God is good. I tell you, it's good to be with the saints. Amen. I want to this morning. It's almost time for our students to go back to school, and it's always we need to pray for our students, and we need to pray for our teachers, our administrators, those who are in these schools with our kids, and you might as well face it. Many of our kids spend more time at schools than like they do at home, and they're influenced by these schools, and so much is going on in our schools now, and you know, some have turned to the alternative of homeschooling. Many of our parents here homeschool their kids more in the nation than ever before, and they're doing that because of what's going on in the schools, and some of it is. You know, can be avoided. Some of it is it starts at the top. But whatever the case, wherever you are, whether you're a college student, whether you're high school, elementary, grade school, we know that you need the prayers of the righteous. Amen. And we're hoping that you have a great year this coming school year. I want to get into my lesson, and I'm going to ask all of the teachers and the students to stand in a little bit, but I just want to kind of dive into my lesson. It is for us all. I've entitled it The Advantages of Quality Education. The advantages and benefits of quality education. The late Lewis Dahl, he wrote an article, and in the article, he stated that in general, most people recognize the importance of education. And I guess that's true. It should be true. Because if you think about it, we are born in ignorance. What do you mean, Brother Gary? We're born as babes with almost a blank canvas. And whatever we become in life is dependent on our education, and hopefully it starts right in the home, amen? And that should be probably our most influence, and especially up to a certain age, it should be. And so God tells us in his word to train up a child in the way that he should go. And that is to the guardians. That message is to the fathers and to the mothers and to the guardians of our children, and it is a responsibility on us. And we get our education, we should get it from the home. We get our education even after we get a little bit older from our personal experiences, and then we get our education from an effort of our own to seek wise counsel from others. As children, we come up through the ranks. Most of the time, we're almost made to get an education. You don't have a choice. You're getting up and you're going to school. But God has created us and placed us in a world where he that's designed for us to develop our physical bodies and our minds. And God placed it that way. You remember in Genesis chapter 1, if you will, verse number 28, beginning at verse number 28, God expects mankind to excel or exceed the intelligence of all other creatures. Listen to verse 28. God blessed them, speaking of man and woman. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then he said, and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on it. That's what God told man to do. Now, God didn't give man an instruction manual and tell him exactly how to subdue the earth. But what he told man is, listen, you in charge. And he said, listen, I'm putting everything that you need on this earth. And I want you to figure out a way to use these things to provide for your family as a resource. And I want you to take care of what you have. He says, and I don't want nobody else ruling over you. None of these other animals are to rule you. And so that tells us right there in the beginning that you know what? We can't play all the time. Amen somebody. Amen. Yeah, God put it here for us to enjoy, but he says, you take care of business while you on this earth. That's Old Testament times. And I want to just spend just a minute to just illustrate some of the benefits, because see, now you know I'm a preacher of the gospel. And there is no education to me as a man of God that is more important than our spiritual education. Amen. I mean, you know, I haven't always necessarily thought that way. But now, at the point of I am in my life now, I know that it is so important for our children and us as adults to have a wise, sound spiritual foundation. But you know, we're living in the world, and God created a physical world, and there are some great advantages to secular education. There are numerous advantages and benefits to secular education, and we're not trying to lift anybody up high that's highly educated or demean anybody that's not. But you need to understand the world we're living in, especially our students today. And see, and some of this we need to take advantage of, and as we even minister to those who are out in the world. For instance, if you're thinking about you, some of you going to high school, and you some of you are in college, when you just start talking about money and how much money you want to make when you get to be an adult. Well, the weekly income of a high school versus a college graduate. And these are statistics that's taken from CNN Money and the Department of Education. The weekly income a college graduate will earn on average $1,255 a week. $1,255 a week. Same person, a white college graduate will earn that much money. A white high school graduate will earn $736 a week. High school versus college. Almost half. And I know, okay, college is not for everybody. I know college might not be for you, but something need to be for you. Amen. Amen. Now, something needs to be for you. If you're not going to go to college, well, you better do something with that mind of yours. Because you just like all of us have needs, first of all, and many of us have wants. Amen, somebody. Now, notice this. A black college graduate earns less than a white on average, $1,012. High school graduate will earn $579. Half. And you need to add the numbers up. And you need to do that in a hurry. Listen, Hispanic college graduates earn more than black high school graduates. 1,000 and $42 versus $610 at high school Spanish graduates. Let me just give you a little bit more information. I hope you can chew on this. Now, let's talk about dropping out of high school. You don't finish high school. Listen, if you drop out of high school, just hear the doors slamming behind you. So many opportunities. I know, and I know we are, for the most part, here at the Field Ward Church of Christ, we're educated and we're motivated and we need to give our kids more than just, you just need to go to school. We need to help them to understand why you need to go to school. Listen to this. The average dropout can expect to earn an annual income, average dropout, $20,000, average. And you might say, but that's pretty good money. That's not a whole lot of, what world are you living in? Listen, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, that is $10,000 less than the typical high school graduate. High school graduate, on average, can earn $30,000. And these numbers are a little bit dated, because I'm telling you, those of us as adults, we out in the world, you know right now, for you to find a decent job, making a decent living, you got a high school graduate, you got to scrape and scrap and look everywhere for a job making $30,000 a year as a high school graduate. Listen to this. And that is $36,000 less than a college graduate. Yeah. So there's a great disparity when we talk about education among those that's ages 18 to 24. Dropouts are more than twice likely as college graduates to live in poverty, according to the Department of Education. There's a chart that shows you what the poverty level is. If you go on there, the Department of Education, poverty means that you poor. Amen. Right. Now, some of us, we can be poor in money and rich in Christ Jesus. And we're not trying to demean that at all. But you know, when you apply for these federal programs, they have a chart that says, if you're not making this much money, you're on the poverty level. And some of us know all about it. Amen, somebody. Among dropouts between the ages of 16 and 24, listen to this. Incarceration rates are a whopping 63 times higher than those that go to college. You hear that? You drop out of school. See, what happens, you drop out, you think, I don't feel like going to school. I'm tired. I don't want to go. I don't want nobody telling me nothing. Well, what you going to do? See, it's because if you can't earn enough money to put food on your plate, you going to do something. And many choose to do something that is illegal, that is criminal. I'm ready to get out of this house with my mom and my dad. They just get on my nerves. That's been the story of our life. All of us parents got on our nerves when we were teenagers. That's why you need to stay in school and focus so you can get on your own. And never go back if you don't have to. Amen. And then when you get your children, you'll see why. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Even the health. In 2012, we're talking about education. As education is putting something, you're learning something that you don't know. You're trying to get better at something. You're getting information that's going to help not only enrich your life, it's going to enrich everybody that's around you. Even concerning our health, I was reading, it says, you know what? Only 8% of four-year degree holders surveyed smoked. Oh, you don't even need to get on that. Why would people choose not to smoke? Because they know you got commercials that come on all the time that say smoking kills you. Amen, somebody. It's on the cigarette pack. Put out your cigarette pack. And it's just about education. And folk and people who read and study. And haven't you been to the hospitals? Haven't you heard the doctor say, listen, if you don't stop smoking, you're going to cut off your life? And when you get the information, you need to do. And they're saying that the more you expose, the more you hear it, you locked up in your world. You don't want to be bothered with anybody. You need to put something in that brain that's going to help you. Yeah. He says this. Listen to this. Among 25 to 34-year-olds, 85% of those who have a bachelor's degree and 71% who have an associate degree reported that they exercise weekly. I thought that was unusual. What do you mean? You correlating education with exercise? Well, just, you exercise, you educated, you're reading in the journals, you see that you say, listen, you need to move your bodies. You need to get up and do something with your body. Well, girl, I ain't going to live here forever, but you don't have to be crippled. Hey, man, we need to eat better. Yeah, amen. Raise your hand if you need to eat better. Thank you. I'm glad you're with me. I've consciously, you know, when you get a little bit older, you sure enough need to get serious. Amen. And so, no, it's about education. I've been eating this. That's some interesting thing. Among people ages 25 to 44, 73% of bachelor's degree holders and 58% of associate degree holders voted in the 2012 presidential election. Compared to 40% of those who just had a diploma, compared to 40%. Now, the people who need to vote the most, vote the least. Well, I know this politics is disheartening, but I tell you what, somebody gonna be in office. Right. Amen. Right. And you know, you educate yourself, you read, find out who these candidates are, and then you know you exercise. And then don't talk about that. Talk about the other benefits. You know, there's. You know, and it's, you know, when you go to school, I know, Lord have mercy. I remember when I was in college, boy, some of them classes I took, I said, I don't need this. What this going to do for me? It's not going to help me. But see, sometimes it's just the environment. The verbal communication skills you learn, the written communication skills you learn that you're going to need in life. You know, and not, listen. Read some of the texts your kids write to each other. You know, we text now. And I know we got shorthand. This language, I'm telling you, I don't, all these abbreviations, that's good. But that's not the way you write a letter. I would imagine some of our kids right now don't even know how to start off a letter. And you say, that's how they're communicating. Well, even if you are communicating like that, when you get ready to look for a job, when you get ready to write an essay, whether even if you have to email it, you better know how to write. Amen. Because if you putting that and this and they're gonna look at your email and send it to the trash pile. And then you talk about critical thinking skills, you know, problem solving. Yeah, you see, you need some problems that you don't know how to solve, because they help to stretch your brain and help to challenge you and help you to seek other ways to figure out problems. And you keep ducking and dodging. Well, that's too hard. This too. I don't want to do this. And don't challenge nothing. And your little brain stay right where it is. And everybody else is passing you right by. And some things you need to be, we need to be challenged with. Lord have mercy. Yeah. And then there's the discipline. See, some of these classes I take, you know, class, they don't mean nothing. That's like algebra. I know how to count money. You won't have much to count. I'm not mad. Okay, I know somebody who didn't go to school. They making big money. Not many folk. You talking about the exception. Bill Gates didn't graduate from college. Bill Gates has read more books than you ever can think about. He might have didn't educate. He might have dropped out of college, but he didn't drop out of education. Amen, somebody. We all have to learn, need to be learned. And the discipline is doing something you don't necessarily want to do because you want an outcome that's better than what you got right now. And so many of us who have achieved anything required a measure of discipline is required in every area of our life if we're going to do something with our lives that's worthwhile. Yeah, yeah. And so there are advantages and great benefits. And I want to challenge every student in here to get serious about your education. Now, I'm serious. I heard this when I was coming up, but I didn't quite understand the gravity of it at a junior high and high school. I didn't understand the gravity of it. And I did decent in school, but I could have done much better. I could have done much better. See, education is a blessing. It is a blessing in more ways than you can think of. You know, I think about you being here today is an educational process. See, notice, I don't like going to church. That's how I speak. I'm getting to that in just a second. See, you miss something when you don't learn something. You think of the people that's not here today. Let me give you some information that perhaps, videotaping this also. Let me give you some information. This summer, we had our students, our teenagers in our summer enrichment program. And we gave each student, I think it's 39 students, a digital bank. And we challenged the students to save, it's 5 weeks there in this program, and we challenged the students to save money, coins, this summer. We taught them a lesson on money wisdom and the value of compound interest and saving and starting a saving habit. These kids are 13 to 17 years old. Boy, don't you wish, some of you wish you had something like that at that age? I didn't get that lesson at that age. I didn't get that. I got it later on. But we gave them a digital bank. We said, listen, we know some of you not working. Some of them were working, but most of them were not. But whatever change you get, if you get birthday money, if somebody gives you some money, or your parents have some change left over when they take you to McDonald's or whatever, ask them for the change, put it in your, save it in your bank. And we said, listen, the person that saves the most money, one of our board members said that they would double the money. And so we had kids at the end of the 5 weeks, the kids saved anywhere from $30 to one student saved, I believe it was over $1,500. Was it $900? Saved over $900. Now, I don't know where she got all that money from. I don't know if she was asking people or what, but she, it was on her mind. I need to save some money. And I think it was on her mind, they're going to double it too? And at the end of that 5 weeks, that's exactly what happened. Save 900, so what's 900 plus 900? 5 weeks. We taught them the value of compound interest. Now, it's a lesson that many of us still don't recognize. And I know so many of you do, but many don't. Now, these are teenagers. We say, listen, let me see if I can illustrate it a little bit better. If you took $1,000, and you put it in the bank right now, and you might earn in a savings account 1%, less than 1%, it's a little less than 1%, okay, and you didn't put nothing else, add nothing else to it, in 30 years, that $1,000 would be worth 1,340, I just calculated it yesterday, 1,330 years. That means if you did, you started at age 20 years old, and you put, somebody gave you $1,000, you put it in the bank, say, I'm not going to move, I'm not going to add nothing else to it. In 30 years, that'd be $1,347. I know some of you on your calculators probably doing it right now. But that's not a whole lot of interest, is it? Somebody's like, well, yeah, that ain't nothing. Well, I'll tell you what, it's more than what you add. Amen. If you're saving it, right? Let me just say this. See, that's the attitude of people who, see, you know, I don't need to save no money. We all gonna die, and you know. That's true. Yeah, just spend it up. Buy you some cigarettes with it. But compound interest, same $1,000. Some of our students know nothing about stocks. Some of us don't know a whole lot about stock. Why? Because we haven't been educated. I mean, okay, that's gambling. Yes, well, that's typical of somebody who hasn't been educated, right? That's typical. That's the typical answer. But if you just studied a little bit, if you sought a little bit, you'd understand that really, on average, since the stock market has been around, on average, in 20 years, the average level of interest income has been anywhere from 7 to 10, sometimes 12% interest. Let's say that same $1,000 you put it in a stock for. And I'm not an investor. I had my Series 6 securities license one while, and this just always interests me. And also it interests me to make a little more money than I had. Is same $1,000, and let's say it was in a stock fund. You left it there for 30 years. If you started at age 20 and 30 years, how old would you be? 50. I'm 50. How? 58? I'm 58 right now. $1,000 would be worth $17,000 plus as opposed to that $1,300. Now, isn't that a big difference? That's a huge difference. And the main difference is what? Education. The main difference is education. Now, I just took $1,000. We have brothers and sisters in the church. I wanted to use a couple examples. I just didn't want to, I want y'all asking them for no money. And so I said, I'm going to call. We have brothers and sisters who are at this church right now, who, when they started working, they saved their money, they put it in the right place, and then now they are retired, real retired. What do you mean retired, Brother Gary? They don't have to punch a clock. Amen. Their bills are paid, and they are comfortable. And the difference is education. Now, I said all of that just to say this. See, education, it's a purposeful decision that we make, that you have to make, each of us have to make for ourselves, as the quality of life. And listen, God put us on this, notice, he put us in this world, on this earth, to bring glory and honor to him. And if we use what God has given us, we are going to be blessed beyond measure. Amen. Notice, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. All I'm saying is for those that have heard this for the first time, think there are many who've never heard this before because they have not exposed themselves to the proper education. Amen. And I want to challenge our students. Be serious about your education. Learn as much as you can. Can I challenge our teachers? Challenge our administrators? I want to challenge you to do what the Bible says, to give your best, to do with all of your might, to give these students, to don't just go to teaching school, don't just go to get a paycheck. Amen. Remember, you are working for the Lord, as unto the Lord. And some of your greatest blessings will be when you see some of your students 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years later, when you see some of your students and they come to you and say to you, Miss Hightower, thank you. Thank you for making me do my homework. Thank you for staying on me. Thank you for giving me discipline when I was in school. Thank you, Mr. Jones, for teaching me the things you did to start me off on the right way. Yes, and you will be truly blessed. I want to ask all of our students to stand up for just a second. All of our students to stand. Students, if you're going to school, whatever grade you're in to stand. Those of you that are sitting, look around. See some, because we are. Amen. Awesome. I mean, you going to kindergarten, stand up. That's right. Hey, it starts before kindergarten. Amen. You know it does. I mean, if your kid don't learn, if they don't learn how to spell, they don't learn basic math before they in the second grade, they're going to be behind the whole time. Amen. You know that? Yeah. Look, aren't they beautiful? Wait a minute, hold up, don't sit down. Some of us as adults right now, you remember when you were that young? You wish you can go back sometime, don't you? Sometimes I wish I can go back, sometimes I don't want to go back there. But I want the church to see you. I want the church to see you because we want to be your cheerleaders. We want to be your encouragers. Listen, tell you something. We want to give, when you graduate, now, we're going to let your mamas take care of you when you graduate from kindergarten in the eighth grade, and that's good now. But when you graduate from high school, we got something for you. Amen? We do. Listen, when I say we got something for you, our members, now we do a graduation banquet. We do a graduation banquet, but our members, those of you that's been blessed, these kids graduate from high school, give them something. Give them something. Give them $5. $10. Okay, I'm sorry. Give them some money. I'm saying give them something. Because members gave my daughters. I said, praise the Lord. When you graduate from college, you make your families proud. You make this church proud. You make God so happy. And you make this world a better place. And we're going to pray for you. When we end, we're going to pray for you. Now be seated, all the students. I know you're ready to sit down anyway. Now, with all the teachers, administrators, would you stand? All the teachers, administrators, I want the church to see how blessed we have. Brother Hart is raising his hand. I want your church to know who you are. We have several teachers, administrators who are diligent. Boy, I tell you what, you have an awesome job. You know, you have an awesome. Listen, I still believe, besides what goes on at home, you have the opportunity to influence people, students in this world like nobody else. I believe that with all my heart. You have students for 3-4 hours. We are definitely going to pray for you. We praying for the principals. We praying for the administrators. We praying for those. And we even have those in higher places that make decisions. Some of you may be in here right now. I know some of the school districts have new administration, new superintendents over some of the school districts. Lord, we praying for them. We praying for the situations that go on in your classrooms. We praying for. But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Don't do what many teachers seem to have or be doing. Is don't just get by. Don't. I know sometimes you put yourself in your classroom. You have all this clay sitting in your classroom, and you have the opportunity to mold them. Give them some substance. Give them some quality. Give them, prepare yourself. No, this goes for even our Bible school teachers. Give them, don't go in there, because see, that's when, don't go in there half prepared and get frustrated because the kids are bad. Give them your best. Notice, and depend on God. God is going to bless you for doing your best. Thank you, teachers. Thank you, teachers. We love you. We love you. Let me do this. You see, there were mighty men of God who education played a great part in their lives. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 22, Acts 7, 22, Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians. And he was a man of power in words and deeds. And he was educated. Of course, you know, Moses became the God's leader to the children of Israel. Listen to Acts chapter 22, verse 3. Paul said this: I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of the fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are all today. This was before he became a Christian. Paul was a sharp. Gamaliel, scholars would say that he only had so many students, and he was respected and honored by all. Paul spoke at least two languages, Greek and Hebrew, according to Acts 21, verse 40, and Acts 21, verse 37. At least two languages Paul spoke. God told Paul, you are my chosen vessel. He said, I got a job. You're going to speak before king. You see, some of us, it's all right to speak ghetto sometimes. If you round, I'm not down in the ghetto. Amen. You know, I think I grew up in Cashmere Garden. Is that the ghetto? Yeah. Excuse me? Well, okay, well, if it's the ghetto, fine. I grew up around my homeboys, and they talk, but listen, you need to learn how to talk more than ghetto talk. Right. Notice, if you want to influence, if you want to grow, if you want to, you don't have to talk that talk. Paul was to speak to the Gentiles, the heathens, and he would speak before kings. And the more diverse some of our students in here, you need to listen. You need to learn two languages at least.
Amen.
I know everybody won't.
Amen.
I told some of y'all might have said this before. In the 10th grade, I made the highest grade on the Spanish education exam in the 10th grade. When I was at Cadman High School, they gave us a test, and I made the highest grade in the Spanish class. All the students in there, Gary Smith made the highest grade. And I was reading, and I could remember stuff. And the test, I was doing that test, I said, oh, I know this. But I lost it. I didn't keep up. I got, you know, for whatever reason, and now I only know about three Spanish words. I might know a few more than that. But what are you saying, Brother Gary? The more diverse you are,
amen,
the more valuable asset you are.
Amen.
Amen. The more marketable you are, the more opportunities you will have. Well, Brother Gary, listen, you think I'm talking about making money, I'm talking about in this life. Paul didn't know at the time he was getting all that education that God was preparing him to be a spokesman for him. Gamaliel, who was a scholar, listen, this is what education will do for you. according to Acts 5:34, says there was a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people. See, what education does, and this is a danger, this is a danger for all of us, is that, see, we rank people according to their education. And some people look at folks that's educated that they are somehow better than other folk. Now, that's not, people of God should not do that.
Amen.
Amen. Because the Bible says God had no respect of person. I don't care what you have and how smart you are. But listen now. But see, when you're educated, people in the world honor education. And see, what education does, it opens doors. It gives you more opportunities than uneducated folk have. That's just the truth. There are places that you can go. But you went back and got your master's after you were going. I did. I really did. It was a tough decision for me to make. I was in school and got my bachelor's degree. I was just happy to just get out of college with that. But if I'm going to preach to 1,000 folk every Lord's Day, I can only preach what I know. And I recognize this is overwhelming. And, you know, I've been preaching 5-6 years. And you know what? If you don't fill your tank, if you don't fill your own well, nobody else is not going to fill it up for you. Amen. And I spoke to the elders here at this church, spoke to the deacons here at this church, says, listen, brothers, I need to do something. I need to improve. And I'm still not nearly where the Lord would have me to be. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Gary? We all need to stay in school.
Amen.
Especially when it comes to serving God.
Amen.
Paul. And so we need to open doors. Let me 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I got to close. What the brother read in you here in verse number 19. For though I'm free from all men. This is Apostle Paul. I'm free from all men. I've made myself a slave to all. And you read the Bible, especially in the New Testament, really, probably Apostle Paul is the only person who could even make this statement. He says, I'm educated. I know the law, the Pharisaical law, the Mosaical law. I know it better than anybody else. So, and what he was saying modestly is that I'm smart. I heard somebody else say that. I'm very intelligent. I'm not going to say who said that. But when you're intelligent, people know it. Listen, you can't fool people when it comes to, he says, so that I might win more. To the Jews, I became as a Jew. So that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I may win those who are under the law. I could go on about this. I just don't have time. To those who are without law, as without. Now, God, Paul wasn't saying to those who didn't have the law, I became a criminal. No, he didn't say that. But he says that, see, sometimes we think, when you think you're better than somebody else, you act like you can't touch them. You don't want them around you. You don't want to eat with them. You don't want to go places that they are. But how you going to save somebody if you don't know how to relate to where they are?
Amen.
Oh, that man, we need to, that's a whole lesson. See, as a child of God, as a Christian, I'm not saying for you to go join a club with them, but there ought to not be a person that you can't speak to. And some circumstances we would not ever be able to relate to where a person comes. But Paul is saying, listen, I'm trying to reach folks, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. Students, when you get your education, don't get high-minded and big-headed. Now you come on right back here to Fifth Ward Church of Christ in Fifth Ward. And you serve around the Lord's table. And you get up here and pray, and you read the scriptures, and you get out and walk the streets and canvas, and you get out and serve tables. Because we're trying to win everybody for the Lord.
Amen.
Show people how good God has been to us. He says, to the weak I became weak.
That's
that I might win the week. You know what that means? See, when you're doing the Lord's work, this is beautiful to see a principle in the kitchen.
Amen.
Fixing plates.
Amen.
Food. It's beautiful to see an elder serving ice cream.
Amen.
See, God wants everybody to be saved. You see, some of us, we've been a little spoiled. I mean, really, some of us don't even recognize how we make the weak feel even weaker.
Right.
By the way we act.
Right.
And the way we say stuff to them. Even when we speak to people, we speaking down to them. Instead of getting right where they are. You know, so even when we helping folk, we help them like they pitiful. Hey, you're gonna be it's gonna get better.
Amen.
And Paul said, I learned how to be weak even with the weak.
Amen.
He says, I did all this for the sake of the gospel.
That's it.
And I know this is, we're talking about education, but what we're talking about is being better servants.
Amen.
For God.
Amen.
I recognize that college is not necessarily for everybody, but you don't use that as an excuse.
Right.
To say, you know, college is not for me, because all of us still need to be educated.
Amen.
Amen. Let me offer this last challenge. My time is up. To those of us who are trying to get to heaven. See, educate yourself.
Amen.
Dedicate yourself to more Bible study.
Amen. That's it.
Listen. And you know what? If you're not reading your Bible every day or weekly, how you going to miss Bible class too?
Kind of like it is.
That's why we got this. We're trying to help the church, and you know we already don't even read our Bible, and then you complain. Well, I don't know why they have Bible class in between services. Because you're gonna get out of here, you're gonna go to the park, you're gonna go fishing, you're gonna go to Luby's, and you're gonna take a nap, and. And then the devil gonna fill your mind with a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
To our Bible school teachers, put your heart into teaching.
Amen.
Yeah, you have these gems, these precious little ones who are buckeye, absorbing. Yes, Jesus loves me, and you are teaching them the Word of God. This is how we're educated. We're using our gifts to educate. Listen, now, and those of us, you know, we've been in the church a while. You know, we stagnated. You know, now we have an academic school for those who, you know, I don't know, you're not working in the evening, and an academic school where you can challenge yourself. You can keep learning and growing in the Lord and being able to rightly divide the Word of God. And we're starting it in school, and you can register in that. You can do extra things.
Amen.
To educate yourself so you can bless your own life.
Amen.
And you can bless the life of others.
Amen.
And we can glorify God. Even more. You here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You need to be. It's the family of God. It's where His children are.
Amen.
It's where we are growing and learning to be great servants for God. So we can try to make heaven our home and take as many people with us as we can. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, to confess Christ, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin, God adds you to His church. And when we get in the Lord's church, boy, we ought to be like sponges, just trying to learn everything that we can. May God bless us and keep us. If you have a prayer request, you can come right now as we stand and sing the song.
There's a fountain free, tears for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste.